verse 3 of Revelation 21. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." A tabernacle is a temporary dwelling place. But oh, you say, how could this be if it's to be eternal state? You know, I was visiting the Indians in Saskatchewan, and I came we passed a little road, and an Indian stood out there waving at us, so we went in to talk with him. And he asked me to sit down. He said, "You'll have to sit like other Indians do." So we sat on the ground. And he said, "Now tell us your story." So I gave him the gospel. When I was through, I said to him, "What is this wagon with a tent on it?" Oh, he said, "Once a year my relatives come, and they stay with us maybe a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then they go home again." And I said, "Oh, that's the 21st chapter of Revelation. The tabernacle of God is the church. We're going to visit the earth. There'll be sweet communion between the heavenly ones and the earthly ones, you see. We won't permanently dwell on the earth. Our home is in heaven in the Father's house. But we're going to visit. Oh, what a day that will be, beloved. What you and I need is a vision. Without it, we'll perish. A vision of what's to come. What will it be to be with Christ in glory? Now all this that speaks of tears and sorrow has to do with the earth today. There's no tears or sorrow in heaven. Never has been and never will be. Happy thought. I think of some of the dear ones today who would like to be here. Nothing but tears and sorrow. Won't be any up there. No more death. No crying. No pain. For the former things are passed away. "Behold, I make all things new, and that newness will never fade." Peter tells us that in his first epistle. Never fade. Unfading. And he has to say to us, because we're so unbelieving, "Right, these things are true, faithful." And then he adds, "Him that is athirst, let him give on him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit these things." Who is an overcomer? He that believes on Jesus Christ as his Savior is an overcomer. And if you're athirst, if you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he said, "I'll give you the water of life. All you have to do is put your hand out and you'll have it." Turn with me to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Turn with me to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 22. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he that hath put all things under his feet, For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. My friends, if you belong to Adam's race and you don't have Christ, you will die. You will take part in the second death. And that will be forever. In conscious torment, forever and ever. The race of Adam will not continue. The end of all flesh has come before me, the Lord says. But in Christ shall all be made alive. Everyone who's in Christ has life. Eternal life, a peculiar kind of life. It's the very life that God himself enjoys. That's the life that we have. And Christ is the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Now, and we won't turn to Thessalonians, but you know in the fourth chapter we have the rapture of the church. We have the Lord giving the shout of victory and the archangel's voice of authority and the trumpet, God's voice that raises the dead. And the dead and the living together will be caught away with Christ in the heavens. He's coming for us. He won't send an angel. He's coming himself. He's going to take us right home into the Father's house. That's the vision he's put before us this afternoon. The first two portions we read had to do with the new earth. We're going to speak now of the portion of those who enter the new heavens. But first of all, we notice here, then cometh the end. That's the end of time. The end of time. We know time now. There won't be any time then. Time will end. There won't be any time on the new earth. Time will end. We can't picture it, can we? What shall I say? I was going to say a time when there'll be no time. Not good language, is it? There'll be no time. No division. As we have now. Think of it. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. Now the Lord Jesus, not only was the creator of all, but when he became man, according to the second chapter of Hebrews, because of his death and resurrection, God has put all things into his hands, and he's Lord of all right now. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. That's Peter, the third chapter. Everything is under the dominion of the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man. But there's a time coming when the Lord Jesus is going to take all this authority that he's granted to the angels, the principalities, those angels which have authority over large spheres, all this will be handed over to God, even the Father, so that God might be all in all. Now, why does it say even the Father? Because it tells us the character of our blessings. We aren't going to know God simply as in the Old Testament as they knew God at a distance, but for all eternity, we will know God as Father. And so that when he hands over the authority and all these things to God, it's even the Father. That's Christianity. The Father was never known before in that way. We're going to the Father. And the happiest memories we have at our Father's table give us just a little faint picture of that coming day of blessing for our souls. What a vision for us. And now what? For he hath, verse 27, put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. Christ is God. He's accepted. And so what takes place following this is voluntary on his part. Do you remember in the Old Testament where the servant said, I love my master, my wife, and my children. I will not go out free. That's a picture of what we have here. And the servant went to the post and he had his ear drilled through with an awl, which made him a servant forever. This is what we have here. Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus, is going to take his place forever as man with his bride. That's what we have here. It'll be in the heavens, not on earth. Oh, what a day. Turn to Psalm 19. Now, Psalm 19 has to do with Israel. I know. But we get some lovely pictures. We don't speak of them as interpretations. We speak of them as applications. Psalm 19. Psalm 8 speaks of the earth. Psalm 19 of the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It reads better in another translation. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Now notice, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the Son, that's Jesus, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. That's Jesus identifying himself with his bride. In that happy day that's coming, when he goes out over the vast inheritance that the Father's given him with his bride, in companionship in that happy day. Have you got the vision this afternoon? His going forth is from the end of the heaven. That's the universe. And his circuit unto the ends of it. Man can't find the ends of the universe. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There was no warmth until Jesus came. And then he opened up the heart of God, as it were, to us. And God is known now in his deep, deep love for his creature. And when faith and hope cease, love will abide alone. That's something to meditate on. Verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 15, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, that is, unto God, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, may be all in all. Now we turn to Ephesians, the third chapter, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Now, I suppose you, like I have at times, use this verse, He's able to do all things, in connection with our circumstances here. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the meaning of this passage. He's speaking about the very things that we've just been talking about. Heavenly things. Things that have to do with Christ and the church. The entering into an appreciation of these things. We read it again. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that's the power of the Holy Spirit, indwelling every believer, if you have received Christ as your Savior, you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, this last verse, the 21st verse, beloved, takes us further into eternity, I believe, than any other verse in Scripture. And it's full, it's rich. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. What does that mean? What is glory? Glory is excellence in exhibition. Now think of that for a moment. We've been talking about your portion and my portion in Christ. We're going to be in the Father's house. We have a ring, as it were, on our finger. We're clothed with that garment which is Christ. We have shoes in our feet, or really sandals. At liberty in the Father's house. That's our own portion and blessing. But do you know that the church is going to be the means of the manifestation of the glory of God to all creation? That's what this verse means. And how does the church come about this? Been prepared for it. When and where? In the lower parts of the earth. As you go through those deep trials, and some are going through very deep ones, we're going to use the illustration of the stone, the precious stones of Revelation, for instance. All with different colors. Gradually that color is formed, being formed day by day through suffering. O thou afflicted and tossed with the tempest and not comforted, behold, I will set thy stones with fair colors. All thy foundations shall be sapphires. That's what's taking place right now. Gradually those colors are being formed. If you're called upon to suffer, remember, it's to form a color, which is glory. Color and glory. Same thing. In that coming day of glory, those colors formed in you, a part of the church, will be the means of display of the glory of God by Christ Jesus to all created intelligence in that vast eternity that lies ahead. Take Christ as your own personal Savior and you'll have a part of it. If you don't, you won't. You won't have any part with Israel. You either have Christ or nothing. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world, without end.